as a tool to mark observances other than the end of war or Memorial Day until President Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm.
He ordered flags at half staff for 30 days after the death of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and nobody followed that. So he put rules in place about when they should be put at half staff and for how long. He did it 12 times during his presidency. Richard Nixon did it 16 times during his. There are four presidents in the single digits. George H.W. Bush only did it 8 times.
Really?
Gerald Ford only 5. Lyndon Baines Johnson only 9. And John F. Kennedy is actually the least at 3.
Hmm.
Ronald Reagan did it 20 times.
I wonder what the 3 times for Kennedy were.
That would be a good question. And historically, you could probably figure out what mm-hmm. those 3 times were. There were some prominent deaths of World War II leaders during, at least one president during Kennedy's administration. So, but one of the things that they point out is that we lower the flag to half staff for more types of things than we used to. It used to be strictly limited to major U.S. government officials
mm-hmm.
and we're talking nationwide, not locally. This is nationally ordered half staff. But because of the large number of tragedies that we've had.
And that's why I say I would assume that it would be more occurring because of what happened.
Things like Orlando and Sacramento mm-hmm. and Newtown, we've had to put the flag at half staff more often. And that is much more a commentary.
Sacramento.
Yeah.
San Bernardino?
San Bernardino. That is much more a commentary on our times
mm-hmm.
Than it is any sort of loosening of the rules of when the flag should be at half-mast.
Well, I think now because you have so many people, especially, that do take to the internet, that there is people condemning a president for not flying a flag at half-staff for a certain thing. So is there that pressure to automatic? And I'm not saying that I don't think that it should be done for things like San Bernardino and Newtown and what happened in Orlando, but is there maybe that pressure more on the president to lower it, knowing that the backlash that he's going to get if we're not doing it?
I don't know that there necessarily is. I think there have simply been far too many incidents that everyone could look at and say, yes, the flag
that
should
deserves
be
a, no, absolutely. When we have a mass casualty shooting, and even if we have a shooting that is tragic, especially with, say, like the Boston Marathon bombing. 4 people died, but absolutely it should have been lowered at half staff across the country.
That was a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
This is WMFO Medford.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn is going to be bought by Microsoft for $38 billion?
Mm-mm.
$28 billion?
$26
million. No.
$26 billion, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
$26
billion. Yeah, not million.
You were close.
I was close. I knew it was somewhere in mm-hmm. there.
Now, so on Monday, Microsoft acquired LinkedIn. If you've ever used LinkedIn, it is basically a social network, I guess you could say, where you put in profile and it connects you with people that you used to work with or maybe potential employees.
LinkedIn is where you go to get a job if yeah. you are a professional employee. It's not, you go to Monster if you want to go get a landscaping job mm-hmm. or work at McDonald's or something like that. LinkedIn is where you go if you want to be an engineer, computer programmer, marketing executive, any of that kind of stuff.
It's a great networking tool as well. But what's really interesting about this, membership base peaked in 2013. And that's really when you were seeing, you couldn't go into an office and I would say 98% of your entire staff would have a LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
It became such the norm, especially in the past couple of years. Now, you've been seeing the companies just lackluster prices price shares go down. We're seeing it continually to go down. Big question is, what is Microsoft planning to do? If we remember, Microsoft also acquired a little company called Nokia, and look where that went. Could it bundle it into its Microsoft Office? That's a possibility. Could it connect it with Skype, which Microsoft also owns, because Skype is your communication tool to do video conferencing, which could be great because now you could be doing interviews on LinkedIn
through
Skype.
I think the bigger issue, the bigger thing for Microsoft is that LinkedIn has figured out a way to monetize what they do, which they weren't doing well before 2013. They're making a fortune off of HR departments, and they're making a fortune off of their job listings. So one of the biggest companies in business right now is Salesforce. And Oracle just bought Salesforce for a lot of money. So that Oracle now basically controls lead generation in the sales process and customer relationship management.
I feel like I know a million people that now work for Oracle. Yeah. They've gotten so huge.
Microsoft missed out on that.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft is sitting there saying, wait a second, that was big. We should have done that. What else can we get? Oh, every HR department in the country uses LinkedIn. Go buy that.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, too, because Microsoft also purchased back in, I believe it was 2012, this site called Yammer, which is a small business social networking. So could that be connected together with LinkedIn when you have your small business, but also corporations and employees going in and out? So
ISIS Twitter accounts.
Ooh, ISIS Twitter accounts were hacked. I believe it was 700 profiles, but they were hacked by LGBT, some people in the community, where they put up...
gay porn.
Basically.
Call it what it is.
They put up website links and pictures.
Oh, pictures, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
They took down all of the beheading videos.
Hilarious.
And put up gay porn and power to you.
Yeah.
This is how you fight ISIS.
That's one form of hacking that I'm good with.
Yeah. Generally speaking, I don't like the hackers. And generally speaking, I don't like poking the bear, which is exactly what they're doing here. But you're doing this anonymously. ISIS isn't going to get your name and find out who you are. And I can imagine the look on their faces when they log in to watch their beheading videos and there's gay porn everywhere.
Right. That,
hilarious.
Classic.
Hilarious. This is how all cyber wars should be fought.
All right. Net neutrality.
Net neutrality. Was it the United States? No, it was not the Supreme Court. It was the Circuit Court of Appeals. I'm trying to remember the exact... upheld the Obama administration's net neutrality rules by throwing out a challenge to those rules.
Now, if you remember net neutrality, which we've talked a lot about this show, it's basically the idea that all traffic on the internet is created equal. And Derek has always used a perfect visual of saying a very large man and a very small man walking through the door at the same time.
Yes.
It's unfair that it's easy for the large man to get through where the small guy kind of gets smushed to the side. Essentially, that is what you were having happen with net neutrality, where you had certain providers. So I'm talking about, say, if you had Netflix. They now had to pay more money to use a certain internet speed.
Well, they would pay money for guaranteed speed, and anyone who didn't pay wouldn't get guaranteed speed.
Mm-hmm.
So Netflix,
so it put pressure on other companies to have to do it, but
right.
It would also put pressure on what it comes down to, the consumer.
Right, because Netflix is going to pass that cost along to you.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately what it means is that, you know, Joe's movie channel can't ever hope to compete with Netflix because they can't afford to pay for the bandwidth. It is anti-competitive. It is a bad idea.
Yeah. And in big internet providers, they said, you know, this is government overreach. They sued and they were arguing that it's control of, they want control of their own services.
Yeah.
Which absolutely should happen. Federal appeals court disagreeing, saying that the internet is basically a utility. And of course, this is going to make its way to the Supreme Court if they weren't busy enough with all the new things coming up. Internet providers definitely plan to appeal this. You will not see this going away.
No, but the Obama administration is correct about this. We should have net neutrality.
100%. And it was a very, very big win or move forward for net neutrality. Am I saying it's done yet? No.
Sorry, Comcast. Sorry, Spectrum. Sorry, everybody else. You're a utility provider. Mm-hmm. That's all you are. You don't own those. You don't own the distribution of information, and you can't monetize it, which is ultimately what they wanted to do. One more from me, Bob Geldof.
Ugh, I hate the names.
You know who he is.
I don't know.
Ex-Boomtown Rat, Live Aid creator. Bob Geldof and UKIP leader Nigel Farage spent a good chunk of this afternoon arguing with each other, with bullhorns, on boats, in the middle of the Thames. Nigel Farage was leading a flotilla of leave boats up the Thames when they were confronted by Mr. Geldof and his smaller flotilla of Remain boats, and the two of them proceeded to step onto the bows and shout at each other.
I now am picturing the image that I did see of
for most
this.
Of the afternoon, yes.
I believe it was on MSN that had it, right up there, that it was a great picture.
Yes, this is not the way things would ever happen in the United States, but this would be a much more fun country if stuff like this happened.
Mm-hmm. All right, last one from me. Osteria Franciscana.
Osteria Franciscana, is that a person, a place, or a thing?
Osteria. So what does that mean? It's a place.
It's a place?
Osteria Franciscana.
Oh, Austria, the country.
No, Osteria.
There's no place.
It's Italian. Does that help you?
Okay. It's okay. So we're in an Italian town, right?
This is named the best new restaurant. I thought you would have got this because you were on top of, and it was at the bottom of the skim today. So I was sure that.
I have no idea. If you could speak the language, I might be able to guess at what you're talking about, but I'm hearing a lot of vowels.
Osteria. That's like the name for like an Italian restaurant.
There are no consonants in there. It's a ristorante.
Well, it means like a tavern, sort of.
Okay.
Well, anyways, this was named best new restaurant in the world. It's in Modena, Italy. So this beat out last year's winner, Spain's El Salar. And this is run by Massimo Bottura. Huge, huge win for Italy because they haven't had it in its country. Noma won probably, if you've ever heard of Noma, that is in, it's one of the Scandinavian countries, either in maybe Sweden,
yes,
or
I have heard of that.
Norway. But that was, had it for about 7 years, I believe. And finally.
Nice.
Got an Italian one. Good stuff.
They will not stand for that in Norway, by the way. they're gonna be declaring war.
Yeah, these places are not cheap. So I want to go here. It looks beautiful.
Yeah. Nice.
Did pretty well.
617-627-3800 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. When we come back, we're going to be taking a look at what happened in Orlando, what we know. Some of the reactions that have come into it have been less than desirable right here on WMFO Medford. But before we get into that, let's be happy for just a few moments.
So Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Carey on The Big Picture, here with you every Wednesday. And over this past weekend, we unfortunately, and you know, we thought it was the end of it in December after we saw San Bernardino. But as Derek had predicted, we would see another foreign attack on our land. Past weekend, in the early hours of Sunday morning, a man armed with an assault rifle and a handgun, he opened fire in a crowded gay club in Orlando. The club was called Pulse. At some point, the shooter did come out. He shot back with some officers, went back into the club where he took hostages. One of the areas in the club, the bathroom, was one of these areas where a lot of people were killed and held hostage. SWAT team was called in. The shooter killed himself. So leaving 50, including himself, dead. Upwards of 53, 54 were injured. I believe there's about 35 still in the hospital right now. Everybody is looking to survive that is in the hospital right now. But we were talking about people that were in critical condition.
Some of those people will be paralyzed. Some of those people will have...
be left with
severe brain injuries and other things, but they will survive.
Now, during the attack, a 911 call was made. We also found out that a call was made to a local news outlet from the shooter saying, "It's me. I'm the shooter." So many questions after something like this come up. Of course, in the couple days after, exactly like San Bernardino played out, what was happening?
Right.
We had every single politician jumping on their soapbox and pushing that.
I want to go through a few different points here, and I want to focus in on what we know and what we can talk about definitively. What we can't talk about definitively right now is what Mr. Omar Mateen's mindset was. Whether this was strictly motivated by
just wanting to kill the infidels and ISIS
propaganda, whether or not he was a homosexual, whether or not that club was targeted specifically because there were homosexuals there. We know that he cased downtown Disney as well. If he carried out the attack there, there would be no question about this, that was an act of terrorism. But let's go through a couple of points on this one by one and see what we can wrap our heads around. The first thing that comes up is the body count.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that 49 people were killed. And this happens for two reasons. Number one, the police took 3 hours to get into the building. There were three police officers who attempted to go after him immediately. And those police officers are deserving of every bit of praise and adulation that we can give to them.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
However, Mr. Mateen chose to lock himself into a bathroom with hostages, knowing that that would get the police to go away. So a lot of people simply bled to death. And while he's locked in the bathroom, I don't know why we don't have people trying to get the wounded out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that. Maybe they thought that would upset him. He would shoot more of the hostages. this guy's got time to call news stations and call his friends and call the police and call everyone else and swear his allegiance to ISIS. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The design and the layout of this club.
And that has a lot to do with it.
Is a big problem, because if you've seen it online, there were only two entrances to this club. And they were both in the same corner of the building. So where he went in, mm-hmm. because that was the first thought that hit me when I heard this, is how does one guy kill 50 people? Well, he's got an assault rifle, and he is in a position where he can command that space.
Mm-hmm. If you think about it, and if you haven't seen the pictures online, essentially what happens is you walk into the door. The minute you turn left, you are now in a three-chamber area, which is just a smaller area. Then it opens up into the main stage where the DJs are and whatnot. And then you go back in a little bit more. That's where the patio area is. There is no exit off of the patio.
No.
The only way that you get out is if you scale the wall. My big question is, why the heck is there not a door out there?
Yeah.
How is that up to standards?
There are two doors.
So essentially you had everybody being corralled backwards with no way out, because he at that point is past the other exit. So the only way that you're getting out of there is if you run by him and basically touch his gun.
Right. There are two exits on the east side of the west side of the building, and they're about 4 feet away from each other. Okay, they're in different rooms, but they're right next to each other. They're 4 feet away from each other. There are no exits to the north, to the south, or to the west.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody kicked down a fence, and a lot of people got out that way through the patio, and then around the side of the building they found a way out of there. But that was it.
Mm-hmm.
If you were inside that building, he had complete control of the room. So one thing that we learned from this is that we need to consider the design of these spaces a little more carefully and make sure, I mean, just from a fire code perspective, if you'd had a fire go off in that part of the building, nobody's getting out.
I was going to say, how many times have we seen, and we saw this
Station nightclub fire.
Exactly. And where we had the exits, which were for the majority on one side, being completely engulfed by flames.
Yeah.
Therefore, there's no way for you to get out, whether it be a fire, whether it be someone coming in with an assault rifle. You're dead.
There were actually north and south exits in the Station nightclub, but the exit to the north, which was on the back of the building, was only accessible from the stage area.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you knew that, you didn't know that there was a way to get out back there. And, I mean, the real problem in there was that the fire and smoke filled the place within seconds. Don't watch that video. I encourage you not to watch that video. So we got to do something about the design.
Mm-hmm.
The next question that comes up here is, what is this guy doing with an assault rifle? Why is Omar Mateen, a man who has been interviewed by the FBI twice on suspicion of being a terrorist, able to buy not just an AK-47, but also all of the rounds of ammunition necessary?
Mm-hmm.
He attempted to buy body armor. At what point do enough red flags go up that someone in the FBI says, hey, remember that guy that we talked to? He's trying to buy body armor, and he bought a lot of ammo.
Think we should go talk
to him?
But that's my question, Derek. Why is, when it pops up, because they do know when people are buying guns.
Yeah.
And if you actually look at statistics, and I believe, I'm trying to think of who put out these numbers, showing that 95% of the time, somebody that was previously on either the no-fly list or the FBI's watch list were able to purchase guns. No problem.
How is that a thing? How is that a thing? If you were on the no-fly list, if you're on an FBI watch list, and you walk into a gun store, as soon as your name goes into the computer, they should be like,
mm-hmm.
sorry, we got to run this through the FBI.
And I am
14-day hold.
Completely pro-gun. Absolutely. But there is not one piece of my body that can defend the person coming out and saying, well, that's taken away an American's right. Or a U.S. citizen's rights. Because even though what constitutes being on the no-fly zone, we know that people in Washington are on the no-fly zone. We know that people are accidentally put on the no-fly list, whether it be, you know, mistaken identity. I don't care. That's what I have to say to that.
I would rather see...
I don't care. The minute you are on that list, whether it be for mistaken identity, and we need to be more proficient in changing that and taking you off, or whether you're taken off, there should be a time frame where you are not allowed to purchase a gun. Because as we talk so many times on this show in saying, what is the point of where this went bad? There it is. The man was able to get the gun.
I would rather see a small number of Americans, and we're talking about a small number, I would rather see a small number of Americans wrongfully lose their ability to buy a gun than see another 49 Americans dead in a terrorist attack, which is what this was. Mm-hmm. This was a terrorist attack. This was the deadliest terrorist attack in the United States since 9/11.
And everybody that is coming out of Washington, and especially your far right-winged Republicans, coming out and saying, well, if they are now stopping the rights of people that are on no-fly list, what's next? We're talking about extreme jihads. Well, what if somebody has an extremist view? Are they now going to be on it? No. We're talking about a difference between somebody that maybe has an opinion about our president compared to somebody that wants to kill everybody that's not in their religion or their beliefs. There's a very large difference between that.
Here's a reasonable rule. Here's a reasonable rule that should be on the books right now. If you have previously been interviewed by the FBI because of statements that you have made, actions that you have undertaken, groups that you were affiliated with, people that you know who seek to harm others, you automatically go on a 30-day wait list when you try to buy weapons, and during those 30 days, you get a visit from the FBI, and you do not get your guns, and you do not get your ammo until that period is passed. Here's the other thing. We used to have a 5-day wait for guns. Mm-hmm. That's gone. We got rid of that. That's over. You can walk in and you can buy your guns now. I think we need to put that back in place. And I also think any ammunition purchase over 10 rounds, maybe we can make it 20 during hunting season, whatever. Any ammunition purchase over a certain threshold is subject to a 5-day waiting limit. So you go in, you're like, I need 500 rounds, 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
You got to plan ahead. It's that simple. Nobody's saying you can't get your ammo and go hunt. They're saying you want 500 rounds, 5 days.
But the thing is, if you're going in and purchasing ammunition, and I shoot for sport, there are no packages that give you under 30, 50 bullets per package. I think that's ridiculous. If we're talking about over 10 rounds, if anything, I believe that every state should adopt gun laws like Massachusetts. I also believe that everybody that purchases a gun should have a gun license.
But that's a separate thing because unlicensed guns are the biggest problem we have in this country right now. It is too easy to steal them.
Because we let our country get to that. We're talking about the government that has very low consequences for guns, illegal guns. We're also talking about here in the Commonwealth, in the city of Boston, where we say to people, please bring us your illegal guns and we'll give you a Target gift card. And we're on the forefront of protecting people on the streets.
They get a few guns off the street every year with that. I think we've had 3 homicides in the past week, haven't we?
All I ask is at the minimum that each state has it. Because this man was able to purchase a gun. Here in Massachusetts, and talking about a gun license, I have to have 2 interviews with people, 2 shooting tests, and I'm talking about living in the suburbs. God forbid you try to get it in the city of Boston.
Guns aren't the problem. Guns are not the problem. A gun without ammunition can do nothing. Ammunition is the problem. And we need
to... No, and that's why here in Massachusetts, you cannot have over a 10-round clip.
But
you cannot. They're illegal.
I'm not talking about clips. Although, we do need to do away with high-capacity cartridges, okay? That should be a no-brainer. That should be on the books.
They are illegal in Massachusetts. Why are they not legal across the country?
Well, we're talking about Florida, where it's legal to take my gun out of my cold, dead hand. By the way, there is a reason that this attack happens in Florida, and California manages to pick up the guy that was heading into the gay pride parade with all the guns and explosives.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Florida, everybody's running around with guns. Hey, we got guns. We love our guns. This is the state of Trayvon Martin. These things happen in Florida for a reason. Because Florida is a poorly run state where some dangerous special interests have been in charge for far too long. But let me go back to my point.
Thanks, Jeb.
Let me go back to my point. An empty gun is harmless. All of this talk is about guns, 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 guns. Here's what I'm saying. Let the American people have all the guns they want. You want to have 50 AK-47s? Go out and buy them. You want Saturday night specials? Here you go. 50 caliber, 35 caliber, magnums, all you want. We are going to monitor every single ammunition purchase that you make. And if you try to buy over a certain amount of ammunition,
which I agree with, but anything over 10,
to buy more than 10 rounds of ammunition,
stupid.
You gotta wait 5 days. And we're going to find out who you are in those 5 days. We're going to do a background check.
If we're going to talk about the amount of people that would need to be having background checks solely for that. So not only are you having a background check for purchasing a gun, 99.9% of people buying ammunition are buying more than 10 rounds. That is far too small of a number.
Plan ahead. That's what you had to do when there was a 5-day waiting period to get a gun. Plan ahead.
That's ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
Because for people that actually use guns, and this is where my pro gun stance stands. For people, when I go shooting in the range, I fly through 300 rounds in an hour.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you, here's the thing, all right? You want an out? The shooting range can sell ammunition, but it cannot leave the premises. So you can go buy all the ammo you want at the shooting range. You just can't take it home with you.
So what about hunting for sport?
Plan ahead. If you need 500 rounds to take down a deer, you're doing it wrong.
Okay, so you think that I'm here at 500. You're way down here at 10.
Yes.
That is
yes.
Far too low.
Plan ahead.
That's crazy.
You're going to get 10 rounds.
It's crazy.
You go hunt your deer.
I would love to see you try to pass that in Washington.
This is common sense.
What you're proposing,
control the ammunition.
I understand. The ammunition. You're absolutely right, Derek. Where guns cannot kill people if there's nothing in them.
This is a fact. I mean, unless... You can hit somebody over the head with it and beat them to death, but that's about
it. No, and we do have situations where my uncle does have a certain rifle or a certain shotgun that he does pack his own bullets for. So that it is possible to still do it. I don't think your average person that's going...
always
going
to be possible for someone somewhere to do it.
Your person that is going out and shooting in gay club, whether it be in the eye for ISIS or whatnot, isn't going to be packing bullets. But I do understand and take you for what you're saying.
This guy.
There needs to be a watch on ammunition.
This
you're
guy.
Just proposing it too low.
Acquired a large amount of ammunition in a very small period of time that he used to kill those people. That shouldn't be allowed. Here's your gun. Here's your AK-47,
yeah,
Mr. Mateen.
We are talking about 500 rounds purchase compared to 10.
You know what?
But
10
back,
rounds, the most you can kill is 10
Derek,
people.
To somebody being on the no-fly list or the FBI, is it so much to ask and say, yeah, background check just passed through the FBI or just passed through local law enforcement? That person has been on the list.
I told you, 30 days.
Maybe we should ask them what they're doing with these guns. Is that so crazy?
If you're on the list 30 days, you got to wait 30 days to get a gun. Forget the ammunition. You got to wait 30 days to get anything.
You know, people were coming out from the write-in saying, well, if the FBI did question somebody when they did purchase a gun or there was a stop on their background check, maybe that would foil their plan for following through with the shooting.
Yes.
One would hope so.
Yes. But that's not going...
One would absolutely hope
but that's not going
that
to happen.
Maybe they would get nervous and not shoot people.
That's not going to happen when I can be on the list and walk into a gun store and get the gun the same day because of instant background checks. I understand it's convenient, okay? The price that we have paid for that convenience is the lives of innocent people. And the death toll is mounting.
No, so, and we have to say it every single time. A tragedy like this happens. How many more people need to die before comprehensive changes happen?
So listen, you want to do your shooting practice. You want to do your target practice. They will sell you ammunition at the gun range. Bring in your gun. You can shoot all you want. You're going to pay the same price you pay anyplace else. You can have it immediately. When you're done at the gun range, you lose all that ammunition. All right, all goes in the locker. It goes back. Or you fire it all off and you go home with an empty gun. And you can have 10 rounds at home. You can buy 10 rounds. And if you want to plan out, you can get 1,000 rounds. You buy 10 rounds a week. For 100 weeks, you got 1,000 rounds of ammunition. What you can't do is walk into a gun store and say, give me 500 rounds of ammunition. Give me 1,000 rounds for ammunition. You can create loopholes, okay? If you're going to have a shooting event, you sell the ammo on site. If you're going to have a gun club, you sell the ammo on site. If you're living in Orlando, Florida,
that and, I can be a board
and you
on
want
board with.
More than 10 rounds of ammunition, you got to wait. And if you're on the list, you got to wait 30 days. How unreasonable is this? This is not unreasonable at all. This is a workable solution to the problem.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on the thing that 10 is too small. It is.
Have you got a lot of shooting to do, Lisa?
I shoot a good amount, yes.
At the range.
Yeah, exactly.
You can go buy ammo at the range and shoot it.
But I am a responsible gun owner user that should be able to go to the store, and I understand.
You can.
Am I going to
you have
inconvenience
to wait 5 days.
Myself? But you have to think about it this. It's easy for you to say,
I don't give a damn about you being inconvenienced.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
I care more about
it's
the 49
easy.
People who died on Saturday night because we don't have any kind of gun regulation at all in this country.
Which I can agree with. I can absolutely agree with that. But to say...
But you don't want to be inconvenienced.
No, but it's
you
easy.
You don't
want
to wait
Derek,
5 days for your ammo.
Derek, it's easy for you to say that. Oh, poor Lisa and everybody else that owns a gun or goes to a driving range. How sad for them to be inconvenienced for every single person that died. That's easy for you to say that. But you have to look at it on the bigger scale.
That's
we're talking
humane
about,
for me to say that, Lisa.
You have to actually look at it from an operational point. 10 rounds, everybody is buying over 10 rounds. So therefore, you would have to pass something that says, if you buy one bullet, then you need a background check. You need a 5-day waiting period.
I will let you go get 10
Why
rounds.
Why should somebody have, I would love to know, one gun owner that goes to the store because it's almost impossible to find. 90, as I said, majority, almost 100% of your packages are packaged as 30 plus rounds in a box.
Do you know that we have a multi-billion dollar...
Derek, I would love for you to tell me the store that are selling the single bullets or the under 10 packages. Please enlighten all of us gun owners where we can go there so we don't have to be on a 5-day waiting
period. Do you know that we have a multi-billion dollar industry in this country where people buy things months before they come out? It's announced and they go and they put their money down and they wait. Mm-hmm. And then the day when it comes out, they go to the store and they buy it. It's called the video game industry. Okay? People pre-order 6 months ahead of time.
Don't even start comparing video games with bullets.
Why? Because you need the bullets right now? Once again, I have to ask you, who are you in such a hurry to go shoot?
I'm looking at it on the mass scale.
What? Who is?
What happened?
Who does everybody have
what
to go
happened?
Shoot?
On Sunday morning is absolutely tragic. And I am the first one to say there needs to be comprehensive gun changes with the whole entire country.
I'm not telling you how much ammunition you can have in your house. I'm not telling you how much ammunition you can
buy. And that I'm not arguing with.
I'm telling you that if you want to buy more than 10 bullets, 5 days.
But you...
5 days.
But as
we're
going
to see who you are.
You don't understand that you cannot purchase... 10 rounds at many places.
I don't.
Go to Walmart. Derek, go to Walmart right now and go look at all the packages. See how many bullets are in each one.
Can I tell you something?
Because what you're going to see is 50, 100, 200. Unless we come out and start saying to the companies, you cannot make packages more than 10 rounds.
Can I tell you something? If Congress,
that's what needs to happen.
If Congress passed this rule, every ammo manufacturer in the country will have a 10-round package out the next day.
No, of course they will.
The next day.
Because your only option is to not make money.
Maybe.
Or to wait.
Maybe we make it 25, okay? I'm throwing 10 out there as a number. Maybe we make it 25, okay? Now we got double the death toll, but okay, it's better for the gun manufacturers.
Okay.
There has to be a threshold where if you want to buy the ammo, because the one thing that all of these killers have in common,
and I have not disagreed with you,
hundreds, if not thousands of rounds of ammunition that they just bought.
Their sole purpose is to go out and kill as many people as possible. Of course, they go out with 700 to 1,000 rounds of bullets. Yes. 25? I can maybe get on. I am not denying you what you're saying about there should be a waiting period for a certain amount. I'm not disagreeing with you.
That shouldn't have done that.
10 is too small.
I think 10 is a good number because that's going to limit the number of people that you can kill. 617-627-3800 is a telephone number. That's why that's doing that is because I'm pressing the wrong button once again. I do that
so
a lot.
So weird. That never happens.
Stop. What now? What the heck is going on? Everything here is working incorrectly. It is the Big Picture, WMFO, 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. On the Towel with Mikey D is coming up at 9 o'clock. Feel free to call in and weigh in. Should we put a waiting period on bullets? I say yes, and I say we should limit the amount of ammo people can buy. That way everybody gets to keep their guns and fewer people get shot. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
enough to eat. Somewhere old heroes shuffle safely down the street, where you can speak out loud about your doubts and fears. And what's more, no one ever disappears. You never hear the standard issue kicking in your door. You can relax on both sides of the tracks, and maniacs don't blow holes in bandsmen by remote control. And everyone has recourse to the law, and no one kills the children anymore. No one kills the children anymore. Just write off his final scene. Take heed of the dream. Take
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story. One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react. The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
91.5 FM, Medford, Boston. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and this is The Big Picture. And it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week's news. And have you, no, you probably haven't. I don't even know why I'm asking you this. Have you been watching the Euro Cup? Soccer, you don't like that, right?
Is that the non-American football?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't
well,
been watching.
Well, yeah, all my roommates
I've been watching the Russian and British hooligans riot.
Yeah.
That's been more interesting than the action on the pitch.
Yeah, my roommates are soccer crazed fans, so it has been on our television at home all the time. But something really fun, if you don't like soccer, but like the whole, you know, animals and predicting things. Have you heard of Watson?
Yes.
So Watson is the soccer predicting sea lion. So essentially he's following in the example of, if you remember, Paul, the octopus that would point to the teams that he thought was going to win.
Yeah, and was pretty accurate all the way through the World Cup a couple years ago.
Now, Watson, he actually forecasted France's passage into the quarterfinals into the 2014 World Cup, called each game up until France got knocked out by Germany. So for the new Euro Cup, he is picking France's games in the new year. It's really, really cool. He's 350 kilograms, middle-aged, who resides in a zoo in eastern France. But it's funny how people look to animals and just choosing. And the way that he does it, he signals his choice by picking up one of three ice boxes. And that's who you know France will be playing and how he chooses.
I don't trust it. I think they've got food in one of the ice boxes and someone's probably manipulating the results. The octopus I could trust because
that was crazy. If you watch any of the footage from that year, and I believe that was 2000, the World Cup in 2010, and he, as I, picked Spain to win that year.
I don't think anybody knows how to fake out an octopus, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A couple things for you. This Saturday, if you're looking for something to do with the kids, there is going to be at your local Toys R Us a Lego Speed Champions event from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at all Toys R Us stores. You can go in and build a winner's podium. This is a little, it's a nice little model. It's got a big trophy up on top, different levels for the race winners to stand on, and it's completely free. So you can go in, you can build that, you can take it home. Kids get some free Legos. That's always a plus. That is this Saturday, 11 to 1 p.m. at a Toys R Us near you. If you don't feel like going out of the house, I'm going to send you over to mars.nasa.gov. Mars.nasa.gov. They're the National Aeronautics and Space Administration has put out a series of posters that you can download and print, including some in very, very high resolution, that are kind of based on the World War II recruitment and public support posters. And all of these are about the journey to Mars. So they have things like an astronaut rappelling down a canyon that says Mars Explorers Wanted. A man with a harpoon saying work the night shift on Mars Moon. I don't know why you need the harpoon for that. They've got a Farmers Wanted. They've got a Surveyors Wanted. Teach on Mars is a nice one for the teacher in your life. These are completely free. And they're beautifully designed. So if you're into the whole Mars thing, go to mars.nasa.gov, download some, print them out, put them around your house, and dream about the future world that we will be destroying, hopefully before the end of this century.
As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest story from this week's news. Tennessee. A tipsy Tennessee man was arrested for drunk driving and told cops that he needed to retrieve a key from the automobile so he could unlock his chastity belt. His chastity belt attached to his penis, according to court records. In addition to the chastity belt, Curtis Eldon, 35, was wearing a white shirt, white and pink leggings, black high heel shoes, as the police report notes. The 5'9", 230-pound Eldon also had a pink ribbon tied in his goatee. Eldon was busted at a DUI checkpoint outside Knoxville. After failing a series of field sobriety tests, Eldon admitted to drinking 4 or 5 shots in the hours before the bust, and he smelled of booze, was unsteady on his feet, and registered a .117. Let's high on a breathalyzer test. Upon taken into custody, Eldon told Sergeant Dennis Smith that, quote, he would need to get the key from the vehicle he was operating. Smith added that he went to explain that the key fit in the chastity belt that it was attached to his penis. Eldon told Smith that there were 2 keys to the belt. He said one of the keys was in his Toyota Tundra. The second of the keys was on the necklace worn by his girlfriend, Rebecca Alexander. Nothing says love like a chastity necklace. In addition to facing drunk driving charges, Eldon was charged in possession of a handgun while under the influence, freed on $6,500 bond. Eldon is scheduled to be in court July 22nd, probably with a chastity belt on.
Florida.
Of course.
A man arrested for having sex with an underage girl told police that he could not recall the illicit encounters and accused the teenager of drugging him. During an interview at a Florida hospital, a 16-year-old girl told cops that Damon Lazeman, 39, picked her up earlier this month when she sought to escape her current home life situation. Over the past week, the girl told investigators, she engaged in sexual activity with Lazeman on several occasions, adding that he had recorded one of their encounters. When cops confronted Lazeman, he denied having sex with the girl and allowed officers to examine his phone for evidence. That review and arrest affidavit notes turned up 2 videos showing Lazeman having sex with the minor.
She
drugged me, officer. That's how it happened. I don't think anyone is buying that. I don't think anyone is buying that. The cops also noted that Mr. Lazeman appeared to be very lucid and very happy in those videos.
One would think.
Yeah. So, nice try. Not going to work for you.
The Bill Cosby confession does not work.
Does not work. On the Town, Mikey D is going to be coming up at 9 o'clock tonight. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. I believe there's going to be some live music coming your way around 11 o'clock tonight. Stick around for that. We are here every week, aren't we? We do this thing every week. One final note that I need to throw in tonight. We had a national tragedy take place on Saturday morning, or Saturday night, Sunday morning, a terrorist attack, the worst terrorist attack in the United States since 9/11. And whatever other motivations are there, this guy pledged his allegiance to ISIS, was shouting Allah Akbar while he was shooting the people at the Pulse nightclub. No question that this was terrorism. And I find it incredibly, incredibly disrespectful and disgusting that two of our representatives in Congress, Seth Moulton and Catherine Clark, chose to walk out of a moment of silence to honor the victims. Whatever your political beliefs are, whatever good you think a moment of silence does or does not do, the idea that you would walk out of a moment of silence for victims of terrorism is appalling.
Shameful.
It is indefensible. And I have been seeing all people saying, oh, this is great. No, they're doing something. Yeah, what they're doing is they are disrespecting the dead. Because while that moment of silence may not change our gun laws, may not change our attitudes in this country, it does give those families who are grieving in Florida a little bit of comfort and a little measure of hope, knowing that at least they are not alone and that the government and the people of the United States are thinking of them. And the other thing that I find extremely appalling about this is the fact that we are talking about an already marginalized community that suffers violence on a daily basis. If this had been an attack on a military facility and Americans were dead, they wouldn't even think of walking out. If this had been an attack on Disney, do you think they're walking out the door? Why is it that an attack on a gay club gives these U.S. representatives the cover to walk out of a moment of silence? Disgusting, shameful, appalling behavior. 49 Americans did not die, Catherine Clark and Seth Moulton, so that you could have a soapbox moment. Show respect to the dead, and then write a damn bill to make things change. That's all the time we have tonight. Lisa Nichols.
Lovely as always.
I am Derek Gary. Until next week, stay safe, everybody.